Something very special coming up for Lorain County. It's Lorain County's first response training series. The group MAHARS, the Mental Health Addiction and Recovery Services, always has way of getting people informed, getting new information, maybe helping out those people in need of recovery, and looking to maybe have law enforcement officers, social workers, different people who are part of the support group and those that deal with the people who may be suffering from addiction, the best way to deal with that. And those that will be doing this virtual training, we have with us Keegan Wicks, who is the National Advocacy and Outreach Manager for Faces and Voices of Recovery in Washington, D.C., and also with us Lauren Wicks, the National Recovery Ally and Family Advocate. Thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Hey,
you're very welcome. All Thank you so much for having us.
So, Wicks, you've got the same last name here, so there's a relationship here, right?
Yes, that's right. And, you know, we're very fortunate in the professional work that we do to be both mother and son, which is a really cool and unique experience, one that I think neither of us really expected to kind of end up with professionally. But it's provided for such a cool experience in a lot of the work we do, being able to provide this mother and son perspective and really this unique family perspective that I think people otherwise just don't have opportunity to hear.
Right. I was going to say, Lauren, tell me a little bit about this story, and I don't know who wants to speak on whose behalf, either telling the other person's story or perhaps maybe sharing a little bit about the situation that got you to this point.
Sure. And I will defer to Keegan to share his own story. But from my perspective and the family perspective, we had discovered that our child, who was 17 at the time, was using substances, and it had escalated to addiction. And we were able to get him help right away. And we, as a family, approached it as any other very serious medical illness. And we didn't have any shame, which is a little bit of a different story than we hear frequently. And I come from a background professionally in health and managed care, which may have, you know, I orient from that lens, and it may have influenced the way that we responded as a family, and really remained supportive and trying to maintain gather as much help and be as informed and helpful as we could for him during both his course of treatment, which was long. It was 4.5 months inpatient, followed by outpatient care, and then through the course of early recovery and long-term recovery. And so I'll hand it over to Keegan at this point.
Yeah, so I think that's accurate. So far, what she's saying is true, and so really, it gets back to what we're speaking of in this training. How to speak with dignity and kindness and love, and what that looks like, and how that's really impactful for individuals who are seeking recovery or who are perhaps in recovery already. And that was an environment that my parents had created that I think, kind of unbeknownst to us at the time, turns out to be, you know, kind of the exact way that one should approach an individual who is impacted by addiction. I kind of, unlike many stories, you know, I was very unfamiliar with addiction when kind of everything had come to a head, and I had come to a realization that I needed assistance, I needed help, and thankfully, you know, through this journey, I had the support of my family, and you know, my mom and I are always, you know, when we speak, we always talk about that, like everyone needs someone in their life, and I think that's one of the key roles that anyone can play in someone's life kind of at any given moment. And so in my moment, it was my parents that had taken that role of responsibility to to help coach and guide me to wellness. And through that, you know, really being able to, you know, have these open-ended discussions, that, you know, I wasn't super excited about having. You know, I think that this is something that, you know, I kind of never really anticipated to have an experience like this in my life, and yet here we were. And I would say probably the same for my parents. Addiction isn't just something you kind of anticipate in your life.
Right.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not. So as I'm sure all families who are impacted by this would agree, you know, there's no manual that comes along when your kids are born, and how to handle each specific scenario that you may encounter during their lifetimes. And this in particular is one that at the time for us, there was not a whole lot of information for us to access. And at the time also families were largely excluded from the care and treatment processes. So we really forged our own path in that regard. So,
how did you avoid any conflicts? Or, you know, there's, you talked about the stigmas of certain things that sort of outside with you appearance to the outside people as well, but within the family itself, either anger or disappointment or frustration, mm-hmm. You know, those things had to surface at some point. And how were you able to reconcile some of that?
Sure. And I'll go ahead and take that one here, Keeg. So that's a really good question. And I'm not denying that it wasn't difficult. It was very hard. And
right.
There were, you know, within our immediate family, so I would say my husband, Keegan's dad, and his siblings, who are older, were, and when I think about how his older siblings were also in their own, of their own accord, extraordinarily supportive of him. And that gets me a little bit teary-eyed because I'm very, very proud of the way that they supported him as well without me even providing any coaching or guidance to them. I think it was just, I'll say it again, I think it harkens to how I oriented from a background professionally where I spent a lot of time in an environment that supported people who had serious illness, physical illness. And I really saw no reason to approach it any differently. It was clearly a condition that my son did not ask to have, and my child, and he was, you know, a child at that point, even though 17 seems pretty old. I knew kind of inherently that in order to succeed and get well, he would need our support. So us having our own arguments behind the scenes or having our own struggles would not be helpful at all. So we all, just organically became a unit of putting Keegan's needs first before all of our other needs until such time, which was many, many months in the future, when we kind of settled down a bit and were able to approach and talk about our own kind of interactions and struggles as a family who were supporting him. It's a really good question.
Yeah, I'm curious from Keegan's standpoint. Most people who are in addiction situations are in denial or they don't think they have a problem. I mean, when did that come to you? Do you think, you know, I need to participate in getting myself better?
Yeah, so I think, you know, just to echo off of my mom, I mean, it really is just an excellent question. And you know, I think for us and for me, you know, we talk about kind of in life at large that, of course, you know, as my mom had mentioned, that there is no guidebook. And I think one of the cool things now is that although that there may be no direct guidebook for life, that there's just a plethora of information about how to successfully manage these situations. And I think that that's some of what we'll talk about in our training to be able to discuss that although everyone kind of has these moments of what do I even do and how do we even engage in this? You know, we are fortunate now in that we do not have to rewrite the wheel, and that there are clear-cut directions that you, myself, and Joe and Sally on the street have opportunity to engage in right here, right now. And I think it all kind of centers back to what atmosphere are we creating for people, and is it a welcoming, positive, caring atmosphere where we are, allowing others to, allowing others the right to be wrong. Right. And so, this was something that of course, how did we manage, not having kind of arguments, kind of paraphrasing, but, I think the thing is, like, we didn't, we didn't manage it, we had them just like anyone else does. But I think at our core, it was an environment where we recognized that these things were going to occur, and how can each party have kind of a safety net or a support system in place to be able to process those things when they come up.
So you're talking as well for the training that's coming through. So for the different organizations that they're talking about, for the personnel, the firefighters, maybe their first responders on there, what are things that they're going to learn that they can, in their moments of interaction with someone with an addiction, what kind of things are you looking for them to take from this particular, training?
Yeah, really. Great question as well, and so I think some of this is to learn a hands-on experience of a family unit gradually, participating in this process of regaining wellness. So getting this firsthand exposure to what it looks like to have a family go through a recovery process together, and what are some important roles that were played kind of during that, and also looking at so we'll spend some time in this training, kind of acknowledging the research behind, ways that our language has been harmful and often unbeknownst to us, unbeknownst to the person, using certain types of language that, we do in our day-to-day lives and we never kind of consider any alternatives. And it's this idea that, we don't know what we don't know. So through this training, we'll be able to provide real-time solutions on phrases and language that ultimately creates a conducive atmosphere for somebody to either seek recovery services or perhaps feel comfortable accessing whatever first responder services that someone may be tapping into at that time.
Right, and I'll reinforce that a little bit and talk about how it's the worst thing to experience is hearing blameful sentiment when you're sick. And so I think that's one of the first ways to avoid and kind of shift the experience into a positive and caring and kind and compassionate experience or encounter with any first responder or any person who is involved in helping someone who is experiencing struggles with substance use.